Many people in this life do not think about the future. And I'm talking about just earthly terms right now. You can see this exemplified in people's health. They live how they want to live now. They don't think about the way they should eat or the exercise that they need. Some people, they just live how they want to live. And eventually, bad consequences are going to come for that. But for now, they don't have to think about that. People think about this the same way with their money. They don't plan for retirement or save for their children's college. Some people just live for now. They live in the moment. And later, they regret that when they're deeply in debt and they have all kinds of problems with their money. Spiritually, many people, even Christians, and probably some even in this room, are stuck in the here and now and don't think about the future of your soul. All that matters is going to heaven, but sometimes we forget that. And it is so important that every one of us have our minds focused on the goal of heaven, and we strive for that, and we think about going there and how we can go there and being there with God and Christ. And so we're going to talk this morning about a heavenly mindset. Paul in Colossians is focused on Christ. He talks in Colossians about the deity of Christ and that Christ is everything that you need. And in chapter 3 of Colossians, his emphasis is on putting off the old man and putting on the new man. And that's kind of a running theme throughout Colossians. And he opens this chapter by saying, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. And so first we are going to talk about the goal to be heavenly minded. And in a little bit we're going to talk about the motivation in verses 3 and 4 to be heavenly minded. We need to always be striving to think about heaven. And I like this phrase that I read somewhere. Keep your feet on earth, but keep your head in heaven. We have to live on earth and we have to take care of earthly things and have our jobs and so forth, but our head is in heaven and that's where we want to be, and we think about that on a daily basis. And I want to mention this just in passing. Anytime that I type the word heaven, it's going to be capitalized. But in some translations, every translation I've ever read, when it says heaven, it's not capitalized, and that just kind of bugs me. So I make sure when I put heaven in there, it's going to be capitalized. If we would capitalize Madison or Huntsville, so I feel like heaven, it's a place, and it needs to be capitalized in really all caps. And it is a real place. It is a place that we can go and that we are going. We need to think of it in real terms. And so I want to focus on this phrase here, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. I want to talk about that phrase first. Christ is there, He is in heaven, and we should want to be with Him. An illustration to think about is if you are separated from your family. Let's say you're in a different city or a different state, or maybe you're in a totally different country. Like you think of Bill Diffie. He's separated from his family. He's in Iraq. And if you are in that kind of a situation, well, you would think about, all you would think about is you want to be with your family. You want to be home. You want to be with them. Well, Christ is in heaven. And if He is everything, if He is your life, as we're going to talk about in a moment, if Christ is in you, if living is Christ, then that's going to be what you want to do. You just want to go to heaven. And that's going to really drive you and fill all of your desire. If you don't want to be with Christ, then something is wrong. That means that Christ is not important enough to you. Well, what does it mean to be heavenly minded? We skipped Philippians 3 and verse 20, which talks about, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait. And that's the idea. We are eagerly waiting for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this being heavenly minded, I think we all know what it means, but it helps us to kind of break it down a little bit. The phrase, set your mind on things above, is really the idea. The literal idea is to be intent on things above. Do you meditate on heaven? And really, do you close your eyes, maybe as you lay down and go to bed at night, and just visualize being there? Do you ever do that? Do you talk about heaven? Do you talk about it to your spouse or to your kids or to your friends or to fellow Christians here? Do you think about it and dwell on it and long for it? I think that's what being heavenly minded is all about. It's like being homesick. You know, I talked earlier about Bill Diffie. He's separated from his family. He's homesick. You know he's homesick. He wants to be here. Why does he want to be here? Because that's where his family is. We want to be in heaven because that's where Christ is, and we are longing for that. We're homesick for it, to be there with him. The hope of heaven is real. And Paul says that hope is laid up for you. It is if you are already there in a sense. Your citizenship is there. We are pilgrims and sojourners here. And we have our minds set on that heavenly home and we are longing for it. Also, being heavenly minded is about not making this life, this earthly life, the important thing. Remember that this earthly life is not the first priority. 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things in the world. And remember that this world is not your home. Peter talks about that we are pilgrims, like I just talked about. Hebrews 11, verse 13. You might ask yourself, what am I passionate about? You know, you just think of that. We have our careers, we have our hobbies, we have things we're into. What is it that drives you the most? And there's nothing wrong with being passionate about things here on this earth. But what are you the most passionate about? Are you the most passionate about sports or your hobbies or your career? Or are you the most passionate about Christ and everything else falls under that? Do you get excited to come and worship? I tell you, worshiping God is a thrilling thing. To come together like this should be something we look forward to, not some humdrum thing. We come and sit in a seat and we sit in a seat and we sit in a seat and we just come and come and come. We get excited every single time that we come because this is what life is all about. I tell you, we get excited to go to a ball game. You get excited to go to a ball game and sit on the front row. And there's nothing wrong with that. But shouldn't we be excited to come here and to be here and be engulfed in our worship to our Heavenly Father? That is involved in having a heavenly mindset. And the things of this earth are temporary. So we cannot allow earthly things to become spiritual distractions. Do not allow earthly things to become spiritual distractions. I'll never forget, Alan Yater used to preach in Coleman at Highway 157. And I used to attend out there, and I just think the world of Alan Yater. And he had a new house just built that he was moving into. And it was a nice house. Now I can remember going over there, and we were going to have a Bible study, but we were going to help move some stuff first. And I came in, I saw him, and I said, wow, man, this is really something. Look at this house. And I expected him to say, well, yeah, man, we're excited. Let me show you around. And he just looked at me and said, well, it's just temporary. And I knew what he meant by that because I know Alan. Everything's temporary. It's all going to burn. Everything here on earth. Your body. People get so concerned about their body. Your body's going to burn. It's a physical thing. What's important is that which will last for eternity. And those are the things which are above, not the things on the earth. How do we develop a heavenly mindset? Well, I can suggest many, many things to you. Of course, the whole lifestyle of a Christian is one of developing a heavenly mindset. But I think probably the most important thing that I can tell you is to fill your mind and fill your heart with God's will and God's word. Study it. Get your nose in the book. It will stay with you. And it will, as Bob Waldron explained to me, it's like a fountain. That as you have studied and learned the word, when situations arise and different things come up, then his word will bubble up the things that you need at that moment. It will just bubble up what you need. And it will encourage you when you need it. It will strengthen you when you need it. And when you need to think about heaven, those verses about heaven and the verses in Revelation and things like that will come to your mind and will encourage you and strengthen you. And we need to fill our minds that way. Well, I'm already passing over the scripture I didn't read. Paul says in Colossians 1 verse 9, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. And all spiritual wisdom and understanding. He didn't say that you may have some of it. He said, be filled with it. Get all that you can get. Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 9, the famous passage. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. And they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. I keep getting ahead of myself. One reason I wanted to preach this sermon is my grandfather passed away. And the thoughts of heaven have just been on my mind. And my grandmother is here today, and having been at her house, it's very inspiring to be in her house. Because I've always said when I grow up, I want to be like my granny. And she has scriptures everywhere in that house. And she writes them on pieces of paper, and you will find them in, it seems like, every room you go in. I mean, I haven't just counted them up, but I know when you go in the restroom, it seems like there's just dozens of scriptures. And you go in the kitchen, and there's scriptures. It seems like everywhere you go, there's scriptures on the wall. And what that is she's filling her mind with spiritual thoughts and surrounding her with these things. And that is a way to develop a heavenly mindset if you do not have one. I think that's a good idea. Every day, I open my closet, and there's my things in there, like Q-tips and things like that. And so I always open that closet every morning, and there's this box of a product that I don't care anything about, and I always just stand there and read it while I'm doing other things. And so I decided the other day, well, I'm going to put a scripture on that box, because I look at that silly box, and I don't care a thing about that box and what it has to say and the product that's in it. I don't care about it. So I typed up some scriptures and printed up some, and I put them in different places. One of them I put right there so that every morning when I'm standing there dazing, I'm going to be dazing at a scripture. And I encourage you to do that. Put them around in your house. Put them on your refrigerator. Put them on your mirror and so forth. So we're talking about the goal to be heavenly minded. If you have that commitment to Christ, then you're going to be heavenly minded. And that's where we're going with the next point. Colossians 3 verses 3 and 4. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. This is the motivation. Why do you want to think heavenly things? Well, because who are you? You're a Christian. And where are you going? You're going to heaven. So naturally, you're going to think heavenly thoughts. We have made a commitment to Christ. And we're going to focus on the first part of that phrase for now. We have made a commitment to Him. We have died to sin. You think about that, it's a powerful thought. We've died to it. And He talked back in verse 1 that we were raised with Christ. Well, that suggests you were buried with Him and raised with Him, as Paul talks about. In Colossians 2 verses 12 and 13, he says, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. So you think about when you were baptized, what you did is you died to that old life. You gave that up. It's a former life now. And you were buried with Christ and raised to walk in newness of life, to a transformed life. Not conformed to this world, but transformed. And Romans 6, verses 1 through 7, a beautiful passage that kind of encapsulates the idea I want to express here. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be with Him in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who died is freed from sin. You see, the idea is that we have made a commitment to Christ. You might think of it this way. This is an illustration. If you go to a gym where they have workout equipment and you decide you're going to get in shape, or you're going to beef up, you're going to build muscle. You go in there and you make this commitment. You've decided, okay, I want to do this. And maybe you sign a contract. That's the way most of them work now. And you have to pay them a certain number of months. Would it make any sense for you to have made that commitment and never actually go? Now, people do it all the time, but that doesn't make any sense. You went and you made the commitment and you're paying the money and everything, but you're not going? We have made a commitment to Christ, and it makes no sense for us to have committed our life to Him and not to think about heavenly things and not to live a Christian life. Think back to the way you were when you first got baptized. What was in your mind? What was your motivation and what was your drive? Why were you baptized? You wanted to be with Christ more than anything. You were excited. You were driven. Well, have you lost that drive somewhere along the way? I think some people maybe have. We need to have that drive and even more as we grow into the head, which is Christ. We have died to sin, and now we live transformed lives, like I talked about. I want to read a few more passages on this. Colossians 3, 5 through 10. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry, for it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Do you ever think back in just earthly terms to the way you used to be in years past, or maybe even in decades past? And sometimes you just think about that and almost kind of chuckle. The way you used to be, the way you used to look. I think about, I used to have curly hair about out to here. I think about that and different things, different ways that I was in the past. And I look at that as if it's a different person that does not exist, because he doesn't exist anymore. He's a new, different person now. Not better, just different. And you think about those days and you think, and you might even call those, you might even say, in a former life or in another life, I used to, whatever, I used to be in shape, or I used to do this or used to do that. Well, when we think about our spiritual life before we were Christians, it is a different life. It is like somebody who never existed. Because that person who you were before you were baptized died. And he's dead. He doesn't exist anymore. You are a different person now. If you are not a different person, then either you are really good now, or you never changed in the first place. Either you are really good then, is what I meant to say. Either you were really good then before you were baptized, or you're really bad now and you never changed in the first place. So you need to ask yourself, have I died in the first place? Look back to the life you were before you were a Christian. Is it a totally different life than you are living now? And that will show if you have truly changed. We have made that commitment to Christ, and our life is hidden with Him. Paul says, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. What does that mean? You know, I had to think about that a lot. It's hidden with Christ. It's hidden from the world. Nothing can get to it. And I got to thinking about a marriage relationship. When a man gets married, he gives his life to his spouse. He commits his life. And that's the context. The idea here is that of commitment. He commits his life to his wife in such a way that he gives it to her and to nobody else. We give our lives to Christ and to nobody else. We don't give it to the world. We don't give it to Satan. It only belongs to Christ in God. And it is there with Him only. And in that sense, I think, is the sense that it is hidden with Him, if I understand this correctly. It's not the idea that we could never sin or we could never lose our salvation, because we certainly can. But it's the idea of commitment. And if you have totally committed your life to Christ, then naturally, you're going to think on things above. And that's the whole point here. So that's the first motivation, because we have made a commitment. The second motivation is because we know that we are going to heaven one day. Being with Christ is the culmination of our life. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then we shall also be revealed with Him in glory. I saw a t-shirt that said, baseball is my life. And people say things like, music is my life. Or karate is my life. And that's okay to say as long as you realize what your life really is about, because those things are nothing in comparison to Christ. But in a sense, you might say that. But could you really say and mean, Christ is my life? He is everything to me, and being with Him is all that matters in my life. You see, when He comes again, we're going to be revealed with Him in glory. And I want you to imagine, as we read this passage, I want you to imagine this happening. And this is motivational. I think it's part of the reason that Paul wrote it. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Now just imagine that. Just pause and dwell on that for a moment. You see Christ coming through the clouds, and you hear a shout with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Just imagine that for a moment. How wonderful that will feel, to be transformed into a spiritual body and to be caught up together with the Lord. Do we think of that as a fairy tale? Sometimes the thought of heaven is like Never Never Land, where Peter Pan went, in our minds. It's like some place that we like to talk about and it's nice to think about, but it's not really real. It's real. This will really happen. It is a real place. And that thought of being with Christ in this day when He returns should bring nothing but comfort to our minds. If it brings fear to your minds, then something is wrong. That glory that will be revealed to us is so great. Paul says that nothing here on earth, any of the things that we go through here on earth, nothing can even be compared to the glory which will be revealed in us. Romans 8 and verse 18. And Matthew talks about that the children of God will shine forth as the sun in that day. And God dwells in unapproachable light. And you just think about how beautiful that will be, beyond what we can imagine here on earth. I talked with Frank about this, and he gave me a good illustration, and I'll give him some credit, that it's kind of like, and this is almost just kind of a silly way to think about it that doesn't even compare, but you just get this thought in your head. A long time ago, black and white TV was all that there was. There wasn't color TV. And I don't remember that, but some of you might remember that. Some of you do. And you remember that was the best thing that you can imagine having. Black and white TV, you wouldn't want anything more. And then when color TV came, you thought, well, this is the greatest. How could we have ever lived with black and white television? And then now they've got HD and all these things. Well, the point is that what you thought could not get any better got better. And we look at the glory here on earth, and we look up at the sunset, and we think of the glory of God, and sometimes it just seems like, that's just so beautiful. How could it get any more beautiful? We have no idea how beautiful heaven's going to be. We have no idea how beautiful God is in His unapproachable light, and how beautiful we will be when we are changed into His glory. And can you imagine that? I don't think we really can fathom that. But it's something that motivates us. It's exciting to think about and imagine. And having that hope is all that matters. Hope. Are you confident that you are going to heaven? Paul talks about, as I mentioned earlier, Colossians 1:5, the hope laid up for you in heaven. It's already there. Now, is Paul talking about wishful thinking kind of hope? Like we talk about, I hope I get a raise. Or I hope I go to Disney World. He's talking about confident expectation. Colossians 1:27, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hebrews 6:11, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. Hope in the Bible is not some distant kind of thing that may or may not happen. Full assurance of hope. We can know that we are going to heaven, and we should know that. If you don't know that you're going to heaven, then either you have not committed your life to Christ in the first place, or you've stopped living for Him, and you are not trusting in the promises that He has given us. Paul knew he was going to heaven, and he knew that the people he was writing to that were committed to Christ were going there. He had no question in his mind. Do we have a question? If you have a question in your mind, well, I may or may not, I don't know. Well, we're not going to heaven because we're somehow perfect, because we've done everything right. If that were the case, we could never know if we're going to heaven. We can't do everything right. We're not saved on our own perfection. We're saved by grace through faith. And yes, there are conditions. It's obedient faith, but God knows we can't be perfect. And so when we mess up, we repent. We have a heart like David did, who is a man after God's own heart. But there's no reason for us to doubt and wonder and be depressed. I don't know if I'm going to heaven. Trust in God's promises. He's told you, you can go to heaven. And we can know that. Gary Sandusky preached a wonderful sermon at Corinth when I used to go there. And he talked about that we are standing on the edge of the dawning of the day of eternity. And I really liked that. And he said, can you feel the fresh breeze of eternity in your face? You just imagine that. It's real. And we can go there. And it's imminent. And this life is so fleeting. And we could die at any moment. Heaven needs to be real to us. And if you know that you're going to heaven, then you're going to live like you're going there. But if you don't know, if you're just sort of doubtful, well, maybe, maybe not, I don't know, you're not going to live like you're going there because you don't really believe you can go there anyway. You believe you could never deserve that. Well, we can never deserve it, but God gives it to us. And what a wonderful blessing that is. And if we have the hope of heaven, then naturally, we're going to think about heaven. We're going to think about it every day. So I want to encourage you, if you have lost your zeal for Christ and for the gospel and for serving God, if you have lost your excitement, renew your zeal to what it once was, to what it was when you became a Christian. And it should be even stronger than it was then. You know, we should be homesick for heaven and think about it daily. Having the hope of heaven is the most exciting life that I can imagine. You know, I was talking to Holly. It's so wonderful that we can enjoy this life. But yet on top of that, and that's not all we get. This life is not all we get. On top of that, we get heaven. And how wonderful it is that we can enjoy the things in this life and what a blessed country we live in and get to go and do things we enjoy. But those things are so superficial. But people who don't believe in God or have no hope for heaven, this is all they get. And I've asked atheists before, what is life about to you? And they say, life is about nothing. You just enjoy things that you can, and when things go bad, you try not to get depressed. And you watch a movie sometimes and enjoy a sunset sometimes and enjoy friendship, and then when you die, you're dead. I cannot imagine a more depressing life than having no hope of heaven. This is the most exciting life we can live, having the hope of eternal glory with our God and Father. And I want to encourage you to look forward to that and be anxiously waiting, Philippians 3 and verse 20, for the coming of a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have not committed your life to Christ, if you have not been buried and been baptized and been resurrected with Christ, then I want to encourage you to think about doing that now.